We all deal with the death of a loved one differently. Some of us depend on friends and family, many of us on faith. But what if you were diagnosed with a terminal illness and had to prepare for your own passing? I recently read a story in the Philadelphia Inquirer about a single mother facing that very question, and the answer she found, and the grace with which she found it, made me drive the 3 hours from our New York studio to meet her. This is her story.
Andrea, can you fix mommy's plate, please?
Everything about the home of Marcia Glover Banks seems normal. The 42-year-old New Jersey resident is a single mother of three young girls. On this afternoon, as the family gathers for lunch, the closeness among them is obvious.
Mommy, do we have root beer? What do we have?
Ginger ale, Pepsi water.
But life here is not quite as normal as this family would want. Almost 2 years ago, Marcia was diagnosed with stomach cancer. Her doctors say it's terminal. None of them expected her to be alive today, and they doubt she'll make it through to Christmas. But Marcia shows no fear.
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
That's Marcia's mantra. You might say it sums up her attitude about the situation.
Faith. I cannot express how important faith is, because the level of faith that you have going into a situation is the level of faith that's going to bring you out.
When you talk to her, you quickly learn that the subject of God is always present.
Marcia, the first thing I want to ask you is what you have learned spiritually from all of this, because I'm sure it's changed you in some sense, I know.
It is amazing what you learn when you go through things. But you know, when God said, I will make it for you to lie down in green pastures, he will. And that means comfort. He will make it comfortable for you.
Over the past few months, much of Marcia's comfort has come through hospice care. The idea of a hospice is to make the process of dying easier for people with chronic illness. At first, she was reluctant. She'd always thought hospice care was about accelerating death, and she's not planning on going anywhere anytime soon. But last January, a doctor convinced Marcia to look into the nonprofit hospice organization called Samaritan. That's when she discovered that hospice care could help with a few essentials, like daily visits from a nurse. They could also take care of her shopping needs and even provide a much-needed weekly massage. She decided to give it a chance.
When I first got on hospice, the first day, come in with wheelchair and oxygen tank and all these other, I said, what is this? It's going to scare my kids, you know. But that can scare anybody. But when I came in, I told the girls, I said, now, this is an oxygen tank. I don't need it, but isn't it nice to know? If I did need it, it's there.
Now Marcia says hospice care allows her to focus more on her family and on her own legacy. She's just completed her memoir. It's called Embracing the Journey.
It's amazing to me what you would think would be the most vulnerable or most horrific time of my life. I'm at the most productive part of my life.
In addition to the book, Marcia has been participating in the Samaritan Hospice Music Therapy Program. That resulted in a studio recording of a song she wrote and sang with her three daughters. It's called A Family's Love.
Let's talk a little bit about the song and what you wanted to leave through this song.
Well, it started off with we thought would be such a nice personal, private thing. We were playing around with words and, you know, sometimes our mommy's always emotional, so I started crying in a couple of rehearsals and everything up in my bedroom. They said, mommy's emotional again. But you know what? It made me actually think about the possibility of really not being there for them, because I never really actually thought of it.
It became real for
me. It became real for me because I had to put it into words. But it was also fun and nice to hear the girls exchange, you know, their feelings towards mommy and me towards them.
Okay, young lady, you first. Can you tell me your name and how old you are?
I'm
Jasmine, and I'm 7 years old.
And you?
I'm Andre, and I'm 8 years old.
I'm Shanice, and I'm 14 years old.
Now, let me ask you, you're the oldest. Do you see your mom and how she's dealt with this situation? She's been so brave and so open. Do you see her as somewhat of a hero?
Yeah. In fact, we had a paper we had to write the other day in school, and they said, who's your hero? Who do you look up to? And I said, my mom, because she can make the best out of any situation. That's what I admire most about her.
Do you fear that ultimately your mom is not going to be around for as long as we all hope our mothers will be around?
Well, I don't like to think about that. I think that God will do whatever he wants to do, so why even worry about it? Amen.
The girls, two of them in particular, are still fairly young, and sometimes it's hard to wrap your mind around these kinds of issues. Talk to me about how you've tried to assist them in understanding what really is happening.
I told the girls, I sat them down immediately, and I said, the doctors say they feel as there's nothing they can do. But my youngest daughter, Jasmine, said, we can pray. And I said, amen, Jazzy, we can pray. And I said, well, Jazzy, I said, you know, sometimes God answers prayers the way we want, or we could have that illness for a while, or I could go home and live with, and they started naming other people that have passed on. I said, exactly. And I said, to be absent from the body, and they finished it. They said it's to be present with the Lord. I said, amen. And I always let them know, if you have any questions about anything, you ask mommy. If you feel like crying because you're scared, we'll cry together.
Do you ever allow yourself the thought of maybe?
Maybe I'll beat it. Absolutely. Even though all the circumstances around it says that I won't. But if I was to listen to what the doctors told me, I would have been gone a long time ago.
When Marsha told me that she had cancer, it was like a slap in the face because I felt like a part of me had cancer.
That's Connie, Marsha's sister-in-law. If Marsha dies, Connie will be one of the family members helping to take care of the girls.
It's been difficult. And I remember at one point I prayed and asked God if we could change places because the girls need her.
When you look at the relationship between Marsha and the girls, talk to me about what you see in that first.
I see love. I see patience. I see a lot of understanding. I see hurt. I see fear.
Marsha, you heard my discussion with Connie.
Yes.
You heard my discussion with your girls.
Yes.
How much do you feel that you have to be strong for others?
It's not as much as that feeling I have to be strong for others. We all get weak. All of our faith weakens and wavers at times. All of us. And this is part of embracing the journey, you know. And guess what? Like the preacher man said, either you're coming out of a storm, you're in one, or getting ready to go into one. So you might as well just saddle up and get ready for the next one. You understand what I'm saying? So don't feel like you have to be strong for your children. Get strong for yourself.
We're happy to report that we spoke with Marsha this morning, and she says she's feeling fine and looking forward to spending Mother's Day with the girls by celebrating with breakfast in bed. One other note, a big thanks to Mariah Carey, the family's favorite singer. I mentioned the family to her, and she sent well wishes and an autographed picture to Marsha and her three little ones. There are photos of my visit with Marsha, plus you can hear the song she and the children created. To do so, go to our website at npr.org. And one last note from all of us here at News and Notes. Happy Mother's Day.
She'll always have her dreams.